So tonight's study is Be You Not Troubled, which is found in Mark. Christ talking about wars and rumors of wars. And this is very much this section, this chapter is filled with inference in regard to war. So we're just going to sort of set the stage for the rest of it and read the first four verses and Daniel 11, verse 1 to 4. Also, I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show you the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven. And not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside those. The question asked of Daniel in Daniel 10, verse 17, how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. It was written for the elect's benefit to remind us that unless the Lord builds our spiritual house, we will remain in our sins and not overcome. However, if the Son of Man sets us free, we will be free indeed, and have the spiritual strength through Christ via God's Spirit to be able to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It takes his strength and his spirit that is typified by the breath of life in order for us to fulfill God's will on this earth as it is done in heaven. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. The answer to Daniel's question then, how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord, is to be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, typified by what we read where Daniel is strengthened by an angel, a messenger, and in particular by the words that were spoken to him. Daniel 10, 19, chapter 10, verse 19, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. John 6, verse 63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. As we will see in this 11th chapter of Daniel, many people do exploits in the churches of Babylon. However, it will only be a small remnant who is given to understand that the physical exploits of Babylon are for the elect's sake and typify for us the spiritual exploits that God is accomplishing within the few who are having their eyes and ears open spiritually in this age. And that's why Christ said, greater works than these will you do, because he was talking about the spiritual work of being healed, of being strengthened, of being given the vision to be able to endure unto the end of this life. Daniel 11, verse 28, then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits, it says, but he shall do and return to his own land. Evil doings, I've written in here, works in the flesh that draw attention to the beast's power, who asks the question in the second resurrection, haven't we done many wonderful works? Those exploits. Daniel 11, 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. More works of the flesh that are as filthy rags to God, as it says in Isaiah 64, verse 6, and this is what's hidden from the world. They don't We don't realize until the Lord shows us that this verse, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So that wind, you know, when we just read the four winds take this king, and this represents, of course, Alexander the Great. But that's like the man of perdition again. It's just another type of an evil man that's being worked with, and God is working it at all. Daniel 11, verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt with by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So these are the righteous exploits through Christ. And of course, it's Christ's works within us. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So that got me thinking about the doing of our walk in the Lord and all the places that there are many places. These are just a few that express that point of how important it is that we have to be about our Father's business. James 1, verses 22 to 25, but be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues, and we know that's what Christ said, if you continue, you will be a disciple indeed, and the truth will set you free. He, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So continuing in the word, standing on the word, is part of that work. That is the work. Fulfilling God's will. Matthew 24, verse 46 and 47. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Providing spiritual meat in due season, being a joint, in other words, that supplies. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Romans 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. John 5, verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. He's going to show Christ greater works, and Christ tells us he's going to show us greater works. John 5, verse 36, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me. And as he is, so are we. So the works that Christ does through us will witness of Christ. That the Father has sent me, he says, so the works that he's doing bear witness that the Father has sent me. And in John 20, verse 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Of course, to bear witness as Christ bore witness of God's Spirit. John 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And of course, 1 John 4, 17, as he is, so are we in this world. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, making it possible for us to do those greater works of conversion, which Christ was not converting anyone while he was in ministry on this earth. 1 John 4, 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in the world, in this world, having God's Spirit within us, which Romans 8, verse 9 says, and then John 14, 20, at that day, You shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he was speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to all of us here, the body of Christ. By God's grace, we can now look at this chapter and continue to be mindful of the truths that these seemingly enigmatic prophecies hide, being sealed with seven seals that can only be opened, and seven is just complete, completely sealed, that can only be opened and understood by the faith of Christ within us, who makes it possible for us to be doers of the words and not hearers only. Without the faith of Christ, our natural tendency will be to get fixated on the natural events and see only the historical element of the prophecies, losing out on the riches that God has hidden for the elect to unearth in this life. Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter as we labor in the word. Revelation 5, verses 1 to 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, our title of this study, be you not troubled. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Daniel 11, verse 1, now getting into our study. Also, I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. God sends his angel, Christ, to Daniel to strengthen him in chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. And as such, he was able to be shown the things that were noted in the scripture of truth. These verses of chapter 11 confirm to the church God's faithfulness and what he has started in the body of Christ through our Lord, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, by whom we can endure all things. Daniel 10, verses 17 and 18, for how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And that's the answer. We are strengthened through the Lord. We go from glory to glory, and the veil is ripped, the flesh is ripped, the carnality is torn down, and we see brighter and brighter as the Lord gives us the increase that we need through our struggles of this life. Daniel 10:21, but I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth, which typifies Revelation 1:11 that says, blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And there is none that holdeth me in these things but Michael, your prince. The body of Christ is strengthened when amongst any of his body confirm the truth of our communion in the Lord and how it is through much tribulation that we will inherit the kingdom of God. That's how we strengthen each other. That's our nourishment and praying for one another as we do. We were brought into remembrance that the Lord is working all of that for each one of us. So every one of our trials are interconnected and our praise, our rejoicing. Ephesians 4, verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That makes this relationship very intimate on a spiritual level, and the world will see that one day. That's what the Lord is working toward. So the bride will be shown to the world, not just the bride, but a unified body of Christ that represents that bride. Confirming Acts 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. And we just read why that's so, because God is a God of comfort, and he uses those tribulations in our lives to comfort us and to prepare our hearts so that we can do the same for others. We can help each other through those struggles. What we're going to read in chapter 11 is once again connected to the day of the Lord that is at hand in the lives of those who are being judged in this age. 1 Peter 4:17, of course, judgment is on the house of God. And that point is signified by it being in the first year of Darius the Mede. And now I will show you the truth, Daniel 11, verse 2. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Persia and Grecia have their positions on the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2 of Daniel. And then those sections of the statue are further explained for us in chapter 7 of Daniel. When going over chapter 2 and 7 of Daniel, we looked at the spiritual significance of these two kingdoms for God's elect. And we are shown in this second verse of Daniel chapter 11 that the three kings of Persia signify a process of judgment for the number three upon those kingdoms within us that must be destroyed. It is when the beast of Persia is whole, symbolized by the fourth king, shall be far richer, that this empire is determined by God's counsel to be on its way out. Pride comes before a fall, and having the riches of this world can make us very easily proud. And yet if God is working with us, he will conquer that pride of life within us with the realm of Grecia that will conquer Persia. So that's kind of like, wow, look at the extent that God will go to overcome a power and principality, taking Israel out of Egypt. And there's just so many examples, but all for our comfort and to remind us that the work that God's doing in us, he's going to finish it, and he has the power to back up what he says he's going to do. These four sections of the statue of Daniel found in chapter 2 represent kings and the kingdoms these kings rule, typifying for us the powers and principalities that we must wrestle against in our heavens through a lifelong process that God has ordained will create the necessary spiritual battles which we need in order to go unto perfection on the third day. We are very much and unknowingly a kingdom divided against ourselves that can't stand at first, which Christ is destroying by little and little, so that we can become a fitly framed temple of God. This unity is all being accomplished by the grace through faith process that God is working out in his workmanship that we are through Christ. In Mark verse 3, verse 24, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Daniel 2, verses 37, thou, O king, are a king of kings, the Babylonian Empire. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And he being the head, we discuss that, typifies Satan because he was controlling the body. All of the empires after that were being controlled, of course, and have been controlled by the devil. Daniel 7, verses 3 and 4. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, the Babylonian Empire again. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And then Persia and Grisha, Daniel 2, verse 39, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, Persia, and another third kingdom of brass, Grisha, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And then Daniel 7, verses 5 and 6. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, Persia, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, Grisha, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and the dominion was given to it. The fourth kingdom is that is the fourth kingdom that is strong as iron of Daniel 2, verse 40, is the composite beast of Revelation 13, verses 1 to 9. Daniel 2, verses 40, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron it breaks all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. So the point of this statue, we've gone over it, but it represents everything that's within us. Obviously, it's the man of perdition. It's something that God has put there. That's the marred vessel. And he's showing the wars and the division, the kingdoms never standing. But of course, the good news is that at the end, the stone hits the feet, the statue comes down, and the kingdom then of God fills the whole earth. Revelation 13, verses 1 to 3, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And that's Nebuchadnezzar, typified by the devil, of course, the devil typified by Nebuchadnezzar, rather. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. All the empires of mankind will eventually fall because of the natural state of disunity in man's heart, which God had created within the marred vessel that the first Adam is. Every carnal empire with its way that seems right to a man leads to death, and used of God to teach us, and is used of God to teach us an eternal principle of how mankind can only be united through the mind of Christ, the second Adam. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 12 to or 8 down to 29. This really ties in. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. And this is just more of that divided thinking that God, Christ is not, we have to have that burned out of us. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world, this very divided world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So that's twice he's mentioned that. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, which we'll be looking at. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So what God can do through us is far stronger than what the world can do. And this is what the world is going to learn. That is the being a witness of these things, of what God can do through the weak of the world. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Romans 11, verse 18, boast not against the branches, but if you boast, you bear not the root, but the root thee. And Romans 3, 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith, the very faith of Christ. So all glory to our Lord for that faith that he gives us. But God has chosen the foolish things and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? So that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 3 and 4, and a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others beside those. By many historical accounts, this mighty king that shall stand up is speaking of Alexander the Great. But the spiritual lesson for us is that Grisha does not fall all at once within us. But when it does begin to happen, the terminology that God uses are these words: his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven. This dividing of Grisha to the four winds is accomplished by the hand of God, and it is a weakening of this part of the beast on the statue of Daniel chapter 2, expressed this way: and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled, for his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others besides those, and sets the stage even for others besides those to come in and rule. This is another starting point of sorts of the many great battles and wars that God will work according to the counsel of his own will. And this is why he tells us you will hear wars and rumors of wars historically, presently, and the prediction of war for the future. All that means something for us inwardly. So this is another starting point of sorts of the many battles and wars that God will work according to the counsel of his own will to teach God's elect of his sovereign hand throughout history, and more importantly, in our heavens as Christ wages war against the adversary that we must overcome as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is Christ who is working in us both to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Who comes in and follows and Roman Empire and Christ the stone made without hands, who is going to destroy the Roman Empire within us, and by extension every other corrupt power and principality, empires and kings, trying to gain rule over our heavens. He who is in you is greater than him who is in the world, Christ tells us. Christ's victorious life conquered all of humanity, every empire and every king, down to this last empire of Rome that is symbolized by the basis of all the empires, that is represented by the feet of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Christ's death bruised the head of the serpent, as do the elect when we die daily. And the serpent bruised the heel of Christ's body, the seed of the woman, the church. This allegory is typified for us with the stone, Christ, that hits the basest empire, Rome, in the prophecy in Daniel chapter 2, the statue, which is an example of God speaking of things that are not as though they were. In time, all nations within mankind will be judged and redeemed through Christ and his Christ. God's elect must be bruised first in this life in order to be partakers of that rulership under Christ in the future. And as we overcome all the nations within us of Nebuchadnezzar's dream by dying daily, the man of perdition will be destroyed by the brightness of Christ coming into our lives. Christ will not deny himself that victory in the lives of those whom he is the author and the finisher of their faith. The prodigal son, in his lowest state, represents this basest of kingdoms, the Roman Empire, that is hit by a stone on iron mixed with miry clay. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, the seed of the serpent. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Chapter 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. 2 Corinthians, and of course he's doing that within us, because if we lose our life, we'll gain our life. If we fulfill God's will, we will be losing our life, which is what God's will do. It's going to take us in that path of destroying the devil and his works within us and making us more than conquerors through Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. It's all well and good to identify Adam's descendants comprised of all these empires and kings and their wars, but to stop there is just a history lesson. With that said, we can identify many parts of this section of Daniel in history with natural events that will precede spiritual lessons to those who are given eyes to see and ears to hear what those lessons are. God tells us that all of these prophecies' primary function was not to give us an historical timeline, humanity's prophetic scaffolding, but were written down to reveal something about the end of the ages that have come upon those who are being judged in this life. So there's a positive and negative use of scaffolding, because we know that our flesh, like Mike said, this flesh is a scaffolding. It's not going to inherit the kingdom. But God uses it, ours and everyone else's, are for our sakes to help us understand this life that we're living and what he set before us through the resurrection. Our goal should therefore be to glean as many spiritual lessons as God will permit through these very troublesome events of war between empires that typify the spiritual warfare that God has called us to be refined by in the potter's hand. 1 Corinthians 10:11, which we all know, these three verses are very common. Now, all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high. And God deemed it necessary that all of these types and shadows were written out for us for our edification. Here's a pretty concise, semi-historical explanation of Daniel chapter 11 that Microsoft Bing generated by my asking the question, explain chapter 11 of Daniel. God is preparing the world for the future teachers who will, in an instant, be able to explain the truth of God. And because God's judgments will be in the earth, his manifest knowledge will proceed forth from the elect, and the world will learn of his righteousness. that seed will be planted. And then, of course, in the, it'll come to maturation in the great white throne judgment, the lake of fire. So this is the historical, is this the, this is it. This is the Microsoft Bing, what it spit out at me. Chapter 11 of the book of Daniel is a highly detailed and complex prophecy concerning the future events affecting the Jewish people. This chapter outlines a series of conflicts between the king of the north and the king of the south, which many scholars interpret as historical events that occurred between the Ptolemaic kingdom of Egypt, the south, and the Seleucid Empire in Syria, the north. The prophecy extends from the time of Persian rule, to the end of times. The chapter begins, that's it, right?
No.
The chapter begins with a prediction of the rise and fall of Persian kings and the emergence of Alexander the Great, whose empire would be divided after his death. It then describes a long series of wars and political maneuvers between the northern and southern kingdoms, including marriages, alliances, betrayals, and battles. The prophecy is noted for its detail and accuracy regarding historical events, leading some to suggest it was written after the fact, though traditional belief holds that it was written by Daniel in the 6th century BCE as a genuine prophecy. The latter part of the chapter shifts to a future time of the end, describing a ruler who will do as he pleases, exalt himself, and oppose God, which many interpret as a reference to the Antichrist figure in Christian eschatology. Of course, we know none of this is being understood. They don't recognize what Antichrist is. It just means being against Christ, and there are many Antichrists. The text is considered by many to be one of the most detailed prophecies in the Bible, providing insights not only into the historical events of the Near East, but also into the ultimate triumph of God's kingdom. That's the end of the quote. So there's a little bit of hit and miss, as you can see. But the point is, that's what the world focuses on. This is kind of like taking a scoop from a bucket, if you would, of mankind's collective thinking, like the Borg, and this is what comes out, and you'll see that. It's just a very interesting thing to see how God has used AI to demonstrate the conclusiveness, you know, in many ways, of what people think about specific subjects in the Bible. But that got me thinking about how the body of Christ, how blessed we are to have a collective understanding with the mind of Christ, and how God will use that during the 1,000 years and even now as people are drawn to the body of Christ. Next week, Lord willing, we'll start to break down the remaining verses of this chapter of Daniel that, like all of God's word, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We're going to hear of a lot of wars and rumors of wars and learn of many nations that have risen against nations of which Christ tells us represent our spiritual battles in our heavens that he tells us not to be troubled over. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Mark 13, verses 7 and 8. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't just think like I always used to think, just future. No, all wars, any war from the past, the present, and the future. Then think within. When you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be you not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, within and without. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. And the last verse, Luke 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you that kingdom, the undivided kingdom of Christ, God's kingdom within us. And that's our study.